You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from WHYY in Greater Philadelphia. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jeff Mack, Newmark Rubnight Frank, and Ethan Milrood, GoToTech, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Moment Sheikh, Bank of America, and Roseanne Olin, who is the Vice President of Institutional Development here at WHYY. We've got a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Jeff, please give us the rundown.
Thank you, Herb. We have a great show planned. I'd like to thank Bill Maraza for hosting us here at WHYY, which actually means wider horizons for you and yours.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And we're going to start with Jeff Maraza, who is President of Spark Therapeutics, and Bill Maraza, who's the president and CEO of WHYY. Then Cherie Copperthwaite is CEO of Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey. Mason Reiner, CEO of R Health. And Crystal O'Neill, president of Seer Interactive.
And also like to mention our special guest host, Phil Haregi from Sabre Systems. So Mr. Jeff Maraza, president and CEO of president of Sparks Therapeutics. What is Sparks Therapeutics?
So Spark Therapeutics is a gene therapy company developing what we hope to be potentially curative, life-altering treatments for debilitating and life-threatening diseases.
Cool. So you're really into the whole world of life sciences, huh?
That's right.
And how young were you when this sense of wanting to be involved in this world began to show up? What caused that?
So it was sort of the acute illness of my grandmother. I was about 13 years old when she first became sick with a form of cancer, and I've watched it play out over a period of time, and it certainly motivated me to change some of my habits as a teenager, as well as also think about how I could ultimately.
But there's a lot of kids whose grandmoms or grandpops or somebody in the family got sick. You really felt that this was a turning point for you, a pivot point.
Yeah.
Give me more of a sense of that. What do you mean?
Well, I think it was certainly a first and most impactful moment of dealing with mortality and sort of observing it. Mm-hmm. And it also had to do with somebody that I was particularly very close with.
What gave you the sense you could change anything or do anything about it?
I guess my thought was, why couldn't I?
Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about your family. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one sister.
Older,
she's younger.
Younger sister. And how about mom and dad? What are they all about?
Well, my father runs this radio show, radio station called WHYY here, where we're here today, and my mother is an opera singer.
Where do you get the sense of empowerment that you could make a difference at the age of 13 in the world of life sciences?
Well, I watched my parents, both my father and my mother, play an enormous role in public service and in the community. And so while I didn't necessarily follow in the exact same footsteps, that idea of giving back and being a part of doing something new and giving back to community and being a part of public service.
But making a difference, where'd that come from? How does opera, how does your mom affect what you're doing nowadays?
Well, that's really all about, as I said earlier, it's all about sort of my performance, right? At the end of the day, there's a tremendous amount of practice that goes in, extraordinary amount of practice that goes into performance in a very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I observed with her over and over again for many, many years. Job is very much about that.
This organization, Sparks Therapeutics, it was five people a year ago. How many people is it now?
About 58 people today.
And how many people are you planning? You're going to 67?
Yeah, well, no, by the end of the year, we're hoping to get, breach 100.
And you see a parallel between mom's opera and what you're doing as the president of Sparks Therapeutics?
Yeah, sure.
Give me more about that.
Well, so, our technology is quite complicated. And as I'm reflecting, my wife works in a very different industry. Mm-hmm. She's a photographer. And so we often try to find parallels to explain to each other what it is we actually do on a daily basis. And as I was explaining it to my wife, basically my job is essentially to explain things in a very simple way to people that are rather
Thanks,
complicated.
Jeff. And we're here with your dad today, Bill. Tell us about the organization that you're running here at WHYY, size, kind of perspective, and we'd like to talk a little bit about your past.
Yeah, sure. WHYY is a member of the public media industry. We have about a $30 million revenue turnover here, about 180, 85 people who work here full time. We reach about 7 million people a week with TV, radio, and web services.
Mm-hmm. And what was Jeff like as a kid growing up?
He was a very serious, hardworking kid.
Mm-hmm. And are you surprised that he's running an organization of Spark Therapeutics and the size and what he's creative? What he's
not
created?
At all. I think he, like many, many people of his generation, have great capacity to build the frontier for our new economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Over the years of watching him grow up and create this organization called Spark, what have you learned from Jeff?
Well, I think it has affirmed my belief that a value system takes you a very long way in business, personal values.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean personal values? What are you talking about?
The ability to frame an idea that mm-hmm. can add value to mm-hmm. a community, and then with tenacity, with dependability, mm-hmm. with a good work mm-hmm. ethic, mm-hmm. you can make it happen.
Okay. Jeff, and looking at your father, you're running an organization the size you just described. What did you learn from your dad that you're using in your business today?
Well, I mean, it starts with that orientation towards public service. So that I wanted to be a part of organizations myself, and to define a vision and a mission for a company that had a orientation towards public service. In the case of what we're trying to do, it's a patient populations that are, you know, and families that are devastated by debilitating diseases.
But in terms of mom and dad, what skills did you learn? What skills are you using that you learned from growing up with your mom and dad?
Well, it's a variety of different things. And obviously, I watched my father on a number of different occasions, present to be able to communicate complex thoughts in a very simple way, and to do it in a variety of different audiences. That's essentially the same thing that I do. It just happens to be about biology as opposed to be about, you know, water systems or environmental systems or radio. And my mom was very much about the practice and the actual excellence in performance in those moments that you have practiced for months or weeks or years.
And public service, I mean, both of you really have a orientation and a love of public service. I mean, how did the two of you, what do you talk about when you're together at dinner in terms of what your lives are like and how you're giving back to the community?
Well, after we talk a lot about grandchildren, issues of politics, issues of public policy, issues of leadership in business as opposed to general management in business, pretty interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm. And both of you use cutting-edge technology to deliver really what you're giving back to the organizations that you've created that are affecting the community. Where does the cutting-edge technology for each of you come from?
Bill?
Well, there's a skill set when you're a leader that I think is sort of wrapped up in being able to see what's coming around the corner. You know, to be able to look forward and see what all the elements of disruption could be on a market or on a business in a market. And at least for me, that's how I think about cutting-edge technology, to look mm-hmm. for that stuff.
Peter?
Just kind of a follow-on question. You were involved in environmental services way before it was popular, and you've been involved in genomics as such. Where did that disruptive style come from? Did you learn it from Dad, and who did you learn it from?
Well, for me, it's just being on the frontier. It's a place where I am enormously motivated and charged up.
How about you, Jeff? Why disruption?
So for me, it always comes back to this idea of the path that others don't take, right? And to try to basically push the questions of why you can't do something. That came certainly out of both my family life, but also where I was schooled and how I was schooled. I went to a Quaker school, and they asked that question constantly of us, right? Challenge, precedent, paradigm, constantly do that. And mm-hmm. so for me, every time I saw the path that others were taking, I almost inevitably, without much thought, went the other way.
What's the greatest lesson you've learned from your dad, Jeff?
Well, it's, you know, first and foremost, family first.
Family first. Interesting. What's the website address for Sparks Therapeutics?
It's www.sparktx.com.
Excellent. And Mr. Bill Morazzo, who is the president and CEO of WHYY, the website address for WHYY?
There are two, whyy.org and newsworks.org.
Excellent. So we've been speaking with Jeff Morazzo, president of Sparks Therapeutics, and Bill Morazzo, president and CEO of WHYY. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about your executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. The University City Science Center is celebrating women who have changed the world. Tell us who you think should be honored on our Innovators Walk of Fame. Launched in 2013 to commemorate the Science Center's 50th anniversary, the Innovators Walk of Fame shines light on the diverse tradition of discovery and innovation in the greater Philadelphia region. As the Science Center examines Philadelphia's innovation story through different prisms, this year we'll honor and celebrate the female innovators who have transformed the world with their ideas, inventions, and creativity. Nominees are not limited by industry or type of innovation. Instead, successful nominations will complete this sentence. If not for this woman's innovation, the world would be a lesser place because nominees must have a connection to the greater Philadelphia region, including southern New Jersey and northern Delaware. To nominate a woman you believe changed our world, visit www.sciencecenter.org/program/IWOF by June 15th, 2015. That's www.sciencecenter.org/program/IWOF by June 15th, 2015. The inaugural class of the Innovators Walk of Fame will be announced at a celebration on October 15th, 2015. Your name is?
Kelly Mirabad.
And Kelly, which organization are you with?
You Loud and Clear.
And what is You Loud and Clear? What are you guys doing?
We tweak team dynamics so that they're more profitable, productive, and we help eliminate silos, politics, and turf wars within an organization.
So your specialty is getting a sense of what's really going on in an organization by talking to the people, both what everybody is saying and maybe what they're not saying, and then helping get everybody more productive for their own benefits. I mean, so that the team's able to make more, as well as individuals are able to be happier, as well as make more.
Yeah, absolutely. More productive and more profitable.
And what do you really, what do you enjoy about that?
I love seeing people from diverse backgrounds, both, you know, ethnically and demographically, come together and work as one unit. Because, you know, if they can work together, they can pretty much conquer anything.
So I guess you have a pretty good sense of how individuals need to be individually worked with so that individually they end up making the team. It's not everybody's treated the same way, and sometimes people may not understand each other on the team, and that's one of the benefits that you bring to the party, which is helping everybody appreciate what everybody else needs in order to really work together.
Yeah, and to relate and appreciate each other's differences, because those can be strengths.
To relate and appreciate each other's differences so that they can be strength. Boy, you really understand the human condition, the human dynamics, so that the benefit to everybody on the team is not only they understand how I need to be treated, but I understand how everybody else needs to be handled as well. What's your website address for
the business? It's youloudandclear.com.
Youloudandclear.com. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been doing this for?
I've been doing it on my own for 6 years, but cool. Informally for about 16.
That's excellent. Now, the website address one more time.
youloudandclear.com.
Excellent. This has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. Our next guest is Cherie
Copperthwaite,
who is the CEO of Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey. What is Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey?
It's a long-term acute care hospital, mm-hmm. and our mission is to provide extended hospital services to the most critically and chronically ill patients in the region.
I understand that you're a registered nurse, and but now you're the, it says on this piece of paper, the CEO of this organization.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Philadelphia, and I've lived in many of the neighborhoods along the Delaware River growing up.
Why did you have the opportunity of living in many neighborhoods? What was going on? In your childhood, you know, way back when?
Well, I lived by the time I was 14, mm-hmm. I was essentially on my own and moved around quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Why was that? What was going on?
seeking work. I was raised by my grandparents, and my grandmother passed away when I was 13, and my grandfather was very ill, and he passed away shortly after.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that you're now the CEO of Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey, taking care of the critically ill?
Yes. Illness and health care and the finance of health care and access to health care was so important at that time. And
what
it
do you
really
mean? Why?
Well, my grandparents were business owners. They owned women's dress shops. And when my grandmother became ill, she didn't have health insurance. And the illness caused them to become bankrupt. And it changed our lives very dramatically.
How do you think that's affecting you nowadays?
Well, I think, first of all, it really drove me to seek a career in healthcare. I really wanted to change the lives of people who were ill.
So it sounds to me like, you know, if grandmom passed and grandpa was ill, who raised you, or did you do that yourself?
I pretty much raised myself.
Tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about the story you told us in the green room about putting yourself in the school or private school or something like that. What was that about?
The public school system just was not working well for my situation, and I decided at a very young age that I had an awful lot to offer, and I really wanted to serve our community. And I decided that I was going to enroll myself in a private school, in a Quaker school, and they did allow me to do that.
How'd you pay for it?
I paid for it by painting the school and emptying the trash cans. I worked for 2 years after I graduated to pay off my tuition so that
I
could get my diploma.
How old were you when you enrolled yourself?
I was 16.
Mm-hmm. Did they know you were enrolling yourself?
No, they didn't know I was enrolling myself.
Mm-hmm. And you cleaned trash cans in order to pay for it, huh?
Yes, and I swept floors. And
Cherie, what did you learn in that experience?
Well, I learned that all people have a great capacity to overcome their circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Cherie, you mentioned earlier in the green room that you had a very early exposure to business and unique experiences. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. As I said before, my grandparents owned women's dress shops. And when you are a small business owner, your job doesn't end. You work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And I really learned the value of work ethic. I also understood at a very young age the idea of financially running a business model.
Does anybody that you work with know the story about enrolling yourself in school and paying for your own education?
No, this is the first time I'm telling that story.
How come you never told anybody this?
Well, I guess because the circumstances never presented themselves before.
So you're the kind of lady that you take responsibility for your own life.
Yes.
But you could have gone in a different direction. What was the turning point?
The turning point was I saw so many of my peers at the time lost. And I really thought, and I really think today, that if you change the life of one person, you can change the world.
If you change the life of... Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I employ 260 people at Lourdes Specialty Hospital. And we have a saying at Lourdes Specialty Hospital, you have two families. You have your family, and then you have your specialty hospital family. And providing opportunity for those employees to be successful is the main goal of what I do every day.
Where did you get the courage and the knowledge to advocate for yourself? And the courage, primarily.
Well, the alternatives to that courage, are not so positive. I was very committed. I was very focused. I thought that I had a lot to offer, and I felt a great regard for the community. I felt a great regard for humanity. And I wanted to be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
What do you bring to the party as the CEO of Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey that's special? What do you know? What do you do? How do you believe? What do you believe that's different because of your upbringing and what you've been through?
I believe that we can accomplish so much. I believe.
When you say we, what do you mean we?
I mean the team. Lourdes Specialty Hospital has a very much a team approach to care. And I believe if we are all committed and all working off of, shall I say, the same sheet of music, that we can accomplish great things.
Mm-hmm. Peter?
I wanted to kind of follow on that with the humble beginnings background and working hard and becoming a nurse and now being the administrator of a extensive hospital. That's quite an accomplishment. How do you share that with your team, the other nurses? How do you empower them?
I empower them by, first of all, giving them a voice at the table. I think it's very important, especially as we face so much change in healthcare, dramatic changes in our healthcare delivery system, that the clinicians, the people that are actually doing the work and caring for the patients, are the people that are making the decisions about that care.
Mm-hmm. Given your environment growing up, I mean, you seem to be such an optimistic person. You have an optimistic nature that tomorrow is going to be a better day. Where does that come from?
That comes from tomorrow being a better day. Every day I'm working towards that goal and never losing sight of that goal, never losing sight of where I've come from and where I'm going to go and what I'm going to accomplish, both personally and professionally on behalf of my hospital, the employees, and our patients.
Cherie, what is having been and now that you are a nurse, what does being a nurse contribute to being the CEO and administrator of this hospital?
I've walked in the shoes of the clinicians, and I also understand the finance of healthcare, and I'm able to connect those two successfully.
Cherie, you had a challenging upbringing, and today you're a big success. What are some important life lessons that you had to learn on your own that you try to instill in your children and your employees?
To stay focused on the goal and do not let the unfortunate things in life that occur to people, especially to young people, to distract them from success.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever drive by any of the houses you grew up in?
Yes.
How does that make you feel?
The neighborhoods have changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I actually mentioned earlier that as a child, we would climb on the Liberty Bell.
Uh-huh.
Certainly, I can't, account for the crack, but the...
Gotcha. What is the website address for Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey?
LSHNJ.com.
We've been speaking with Cherie.
Cherie Copperthwaite.
This is Herb Cohen, and with my co-hosts Jeff Mack, Newmark Rubnight Frank, Ethan Milrod, Go to Tech, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Moman Sheik, Bank of America, and Phil Haregi, Sabre Systems. We'll be back in a moment right after this Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Jing Yu.
And Jing, the name of your organization is?
Wenaiko Delaware Co. Limited.
And what do you guys do? What makes the business special?
We manufacture solar panels, mm-hmm. you know, which is incentivized by the government, mm-hmm. Basically to create a distributed PV system.
Mm-hmm. So you're manufacturing solar panels. Is that in the United States or is that overseas?
We manufacture and oversee in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the branch office here is mainly, you know, mm-hmm. sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm. And what's your role in the company?
I run operation.
You run the operations of the business. What do you enjoy about what you do?
Well, first is renewable energy. Mm-hmm. You do something good for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And second, you know, I studied in Germany for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Germany's much more advanced in renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we are doing some very special and good things.
Hmm. So you really enjoy being involved in the renewable energy industry, it sounds like.
And yes.
You're involved in the operations of the business?
Yeah, I started actual operation in Germany for the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 4 years, the best business established, mm-hmm. The headquarters sent me to the U.S. because mm-hmm. U.S. is going to be a huge market mm-hmm. potential for mm-hmm. Renewable energy.
How do you enjoy working in the United States?
It's a fantastic place. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of opportunities for young, mm-hmm. For young generations.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of innovations mm-hmm. and people are mm-hmm. very open mind.
What is the website address for the organization?
It's winaico.com.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
Mm-hmm. winaico.com.
This is Herb Cohen, and this has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Michael Rosenfeld.
And the name of the organization?
Well Now.
Well Now. And what are you guys doing?
We're a health risk management company for middle market employers.
So what are you doing for these middle market employers? How are you helping your middle market employers?
We're helping them by giving their employees awareness and education as to what their healthcare risks are and as it comes together with their lifestyle, and then creating a support system for them through coaching and a portal and different types of interactions so that they can improve their health.
So you're helping your employer clients help their employees actually be healthier, aren't you?
Yep. It's a one-on-one business where we're basically working with that individual. There's a hole in the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
There's no positive accountability for people. The doctors aren't reimbursed to really support lifestyle and creating that accountability. We are able to do it, and we're able to help employers measure that impact and use that information and the analytics to really drive effective programs.
So you're helping employers encourage through a variety of incentives their employees in a lot of different ways, and you're helping the employees get and stay healthier, it sounds like, helping reduce the cost of health care to everybody. Am I correct about that?
Exactly.
Uh-huh. How long have you been doing this?
I started it 8 years ago.
And what turned you on about your job?
It's the stories that I hear where we're able to take people that, lost 50 pounds and they had conditions that they weren't aware of, that they found out, and we created a support system for them to do something about it. And that success is the most exciting part of the job.
The support system. What kind of support system? This is coaching as well as
it
other
is.
Supports.
Think of it like a personal trainer for your health. So mm-hmm. it's someone working with you, saying you have these things.
Mm-hmm.
We let's work together and put a plan together
mm-hmm.
and get you to the other side.
Website address?
Wellnow.us.
This has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Jeff Mack, Newmark Grub Knight Frank, Ethan Milrue, Go to Tech, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Moment Chic, Bank of America, Philip Reggie, Sabre Systems, and Roseanne Olin, who's the Vice President of Institutional Advancement at WHYY. We'd like to introduce Mason Reiner, CEO of R Health. What is R Health, Mason? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
We enable employers that self-fund their health benefits to improve the quality and reduce the cost of their health plans.
You made that real simple. I don't understand all that complex stuff. What do you mean?
Well, healthcare is too expensive
mm-hmm.
and often inferior quality, and larger employers would do what's called self-insurance, meaning they pay for healthcare themselves.
Right.
So we enable them to improve the quality and lower the cost by working with the most undervalued resource in healthcare, which is independent primary care physicians.
Whose idea was this?
So the concept of what we do, which is actually called direct primary care, was something that has been pioneered out on the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
and we saw an opportunity to bring it here to the greater Philadelphia region and the Mid-Atlantic region as a whole.
So how old is this business?
We started towards the end of 2013, so a relatively young company.
You co-founded the business. You founded the business.
Yes, I co-founded the company.
And how many children do you have?
That's a personal question.
Uh-huh.
We've been blessed with 7 children.
Uh-huh. And did you talk to your wife prior to starting this business about how risky it is to start a business and you've got 7 kids and career? Did you have a talk with her in advance about this?
Well, I try to make it a point to speak to my wife before making any major decision in life. So, yes,
so
we definitely spoke
before.
So
the two of you agreed that you were, instead of getting a job, you were going to go start a risky business.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Why?
because I think both my wife and I share the view that ultimately the home and the family needs to be a source of strength and comfort and confidence that enables everybody in the family to really take risk and not be afraid of failure, because you know that the family is there to support you regardless of whether you succeed or fail. So she was absolutely, you know, behind me 110%.
Mm-hmm. And so do you see this? Do you see starting a business as being risky?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's definitely, you know, starting a business, you know, I'm sure, you know, everybody could Google the statistics as to how many businesses fail within the first 5 years.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from New York.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
One brother, one sister.
And where are you in the pecking order?
Right in the middle.
Uh-huh. What's your brother and your sister's first name?
My brother's name is Michael, and my sister's name is Mara.
So what would Michael and Mara tell us about their middle brother, Mason, when you guys were kids?
They would say that I'm the black sheep in the family.
Mm-hmm. Why would that be?
Because basically I was the only one who was absent on the day they gave out creativity.
I don't know about that. How young were you when you started making money?
I got my first job at the age of 14 as a stock boy at a local deli.
What did you do different than all the other kids that had that job?
What did I do differently from the other kids?
Yeah.
I think I was able to look beyond the tasks that they assigned me, which was basically, you know, putting the bottles in the refrigerator and putting the bacon in the oven, to see that there was opportunities to learn about the business, you know, beyond those basic tasks.
How's that affecting your career nowadays?
I think the way it affects me now is I'm really motivated by a drive to see what others are perhaps not seeing.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
Mason, what influence did your mom and dad have on your career that you're running Our Health today? What influence does mom and dad have?
Profound. And I think, number one, I think one of the most important lessons as a manager, as a leader, and as a human being was something that my mom taught me, is that, you know, all three of the children in the family were very diverse, and my mother always valued each of us for our individual skills, both pluses and minuses, and really supported us in very different paths and lives. And I think as a human being and as a leader, it's important to value those around you for their unique skills.
How about your father?
So my father taught me one of the most profound lessons in life that I keep with me every day, which is he told me that as you look forward into what you're going to do moving forward, that he said to me, he said, when you look back 5 years from now, and anytime you're faced with a decision, you have to say, when you look back 5 years from now, what are you going to most regret not having done? Because the most valuable resource that we have in life is time, so you have to maximize each moment.
Mm-hmm. What are the occupations of your other family members, your parents and your siblings, and how are they different from yours?
So my brother is lives in Australia. Yeah, so he's actually come around to business ownership as well. So he's actually an entrepreneur as well. My sister was a professional dancer, professional ballerina, and she also now is actually a physical therapist.
Do you ever think of entrepreneurship as just a different way of expressing your creativity?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's, you know, probably a fair assessment, in that I look for opportunities to create something new, you know, something that doesn't exist in the marketplace, in the business world, and something that's going to also make a positive impact. I think business can be a positive agent of change in society. So I think that would be fair.
How important is faith in the business?
I think faith is very important, because you never know what, let alone not knowing what tomorrow holds. When you're an entrepreneur, you don't know what today holds when you get up in the morning. So I think being able to have a sense of faith that things will ultimately work out the way they're supposed to work out, I think is a very calming influence when you're faced with making important business decisions.
Mm-hmm. What's the how about intuition? What's the difference between intuition and faith in business?
The difference between faith and intuition, I think faith is the fact that ultimately things will work out for the best. I think intuition is that little voice inside that says, should I gives you an indication, should you go to, you know, path A or path B.
Do you have that little voice inside of you?
If I said yes, you'd probably think I'm crazy, right? Because I have little voices in my head. But no, I think I do get, you know, I think I do get, when I see a situation, I do get an intuition. But I think it's also important to have folks around you who you don't just rely on your own intuition. It's important to have team members that you trust, because you want their intuition as well.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey?
When you come home at night after a long day at Our Health, Mason, what do you see as the similarities between being the CEO and a dad?
Being dad is much more challenging. I mean, my wife's job, raising 7 kids, is far more difficult than my job is building a business. you know, the demands are 24/7. You know, I can come home. You know, I can leave the office at a certain point. I can shut off my phone. But the responsibilities of being the parents to children who have nobody else to rely on, that's a constant responsibility.
Interesting. Other questions, Ethan.
Mason, clearly you had an interest early on in business. Why did you choose healthcare and specifically your type of healthcare business?
Because I see healthcare as one of the major challenges facing our country. It consumes roughly 20% of our GDP, and is putting the financial health in addition to the physical health of our companies, our government, and our families at risk. So I think when you have this big industry that consumes so much of our economy and that has so many challenges in it, that's an entrepreneur's dream. You know, both from a commercial perspective, but also from the ability to merely make a positive impact.
What do you mean it's an entrepreneur's dream? It sounds to me like it's weird, complex, difficult. What do you mean it's an entrepreneur's dream?
Well, that is an entrepreneur's dream, because if you want to do something meaningful, you attack a problem which is complex, difficult, and expensive.
Wait a minute. I thought the entrepreneur just wanted to make money. What are you talking about?
I can't speak for all entrepreneurs, but I could speak for myself that it's important to have purpose. And if your only purpose in life is making money, that's never going to bring you sustained joy.
Interesting. Jeffrey? Oh, yes, Moman.
You mentioned that you decided you wanted to go to Wharton at a really young age. I think the age when most people are worried about, what's coming on TV next. How did that come about?
It's interesting. I think it came about because I started working at a young age. So as I was working, and then I was looking, like I said before, I was working at a deli. But, and I started to look beyond my specific role and to start to take a look at the bigger picture and see that, a business was supporting families. It was making, it was doing something in the community. I thought that, being involved in building businesses would be a great way to really make a difference.
So you're a finance guy by training.
Correct.
What does the finance background give you in terms of being the CEO, and how do you work with the team and other professional skills?
Yeah.
So I think that the strength of having a financial background is really being able to look at data and analytics. And I think one of my critical roles as the CEO is to be able to take the data analytics and translate it into action in a diverse, for the rest of the team.
Mm-hmm. So your team is small now, and every person you add is critical to the team. What do you look for, and what do you have in the team members that you have now? What's key?
So I think that two things are key. One, professionally, is looking for deep expertise in a particular area that's relevant to our company. But I think equally important is people who are well-rounded people that actually have interests outside of business. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to value that, mm-hmm, in people that they have a more sort of complete, mm-hmm, profile.
Mason, the website address for Our Health?
Our website is rhealthconnect.com, so the letter R, the word health, and the word connect.com.
We've been speaking with Mason Reiner, who's the CEO of Our Health, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment, right after this business spotlight.
Welcome back. This is your Business Spotlight, featuring today Oscar Hernandez, co-founder of Little Readers. Interesting name. What does Little Readers do?
Little Readers is a children's e-library in an app right now.
Okay, so I download an app, and then what happens?
Once you have downloaded the free app, you can browse our library for many different books that are available.
Well, what makes your books special?
It's not your typical e-reader. Your typical e-reader, just basically, you just turn the pages. Ours highlights the words and reads the words to them if you would like. It has animations that move, and they also have sound throughout all the pages.
Yeah, that sounds terrific. How long have you been around?
We just went live on Monday, which was
December 10th.
December 10th.
Was it December 10th?
2013.
December 10th, 2013. Okay, terrific. So what do you enjoy most about this business?
What I enjoy most about it is seeing the kids' faces when they read my book for the first time, and all the comments that we've been getting, all the positive feedback from everyone.
How does someone give a comment?
Once you finish the book, mm-hmm, there is an option to leave a comment, or you can go to littlereaders.com and you can leave a comment there.
What about authors? Are you the only author? Or
currently, I am the only author. What makes Little Readers so special is that we offer the ability for others to become authors to get published.
That's terrific. So how can someone find out more about you?
You can go to littlereaders.com. You can check out Little Readers on Facebook.
All right. And download the app, the free app. We've been speaking with Oscar Hernandez, co-founder of Little Readers. This has been your Business Spotlight.
And your name is?
Peter Snelling.
And Peter, what organization are you with?
I work for Merrill Lynch, Division of Bank of America.
And your role at Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, what do you do there?
Well, our title is wealth management, but what we really do is help clients achieve and maintain their wealth so that they can draw income over their lifetimes.
So you're helping people manage their money so that it grows over the course of their lifetime as opposed to disappears, hopefully.
That's the idea.
And you've been doing this in many instances for families where you're managing sometimes the third generation of wealth. So not only did the grandparents like you and the parents like you, but the kids like you as well.
That's true.
So you've proven that you've been able to weather different ups and downs in the financial markets and cycles. Otherwise, these families would have left you. Am I wrong about that?
Well, our job actually is not to figure out what's going to happen next, because that can't be done. Our job is to make sure that it works no matter what happens next.
Well, that's interesting. And you've been doing this for how many years now?
32.
32 years. So you've certainly proven, regardless of the economic cycles, that you're able to keep clients and keep them happy. And you've got, I guess, the wide variety of products in terms of stocks and bonds and everything else under the sun because you're Merrill Lynch. So you've got the whole variety of colors you can play with. It's just a matter of which colors the client feels most appropriate.
Well, I think that's true, and most investment firms have all the tools. It's really what you do with the tools that matters, not what you have.
How can our clients, how can the listening audience get in touch with you and talk to you further?
My website is peter_snelling@ml.com.
Let me have that one more time.
peter_snelling@ml.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Jeff McNew, Mark Rubnight, Frank, Ethan Milrood, Go to Tech. It's Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Moomin Sheik, Bank of America, Phil Hareggi, Sabre Systems, Jeff Mack, as I mentioned earlier, Newmark Rubnight, Frank. And we'd like to introduce Crystal O'Neill, president of Seer Interactive. Crystal, what is Seer Interactive? What kind of stuff do you guys do?
Yep, we're a search marketing agency here in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And essentially what we do is we use online channels to connect people to people, services, products. We help them find what they're looking for.
Uh-huh. And how old is this organization, and how long have you been with the organization?
Founded in 2002 by Will Reynolds, mm-hmm. and I joined about 8 years ago.
You joined about 8 years ago. And when you took the job with the company, what was your role?
I was an SEO account manager.
So you were an SEO account manager, and now you're the president.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So where are you from originally?
York, Pennsylvania.
York, Pennsylvania. And how many brothers and sisters?
Two sisters, older and younger.
So you're the middle of three.
I am the middle.
What was the effect of going up in the middle of three girls in York, Pennsylvania?
It was fun. Mm-hmm. Being the middle child, I think I gained a little bit of sense of independency very young, mm-hmm. where the older, you know, got her thing going, mm-hmm. younger had her thing going, and I did mm-hmm. my own thing.
How about in the green room earlier, you were talking about mom and dad went through a difficult period when you were in fifth grade, so I guess you were about 10 years old. Why don't mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's when my parents ended up getting divorced. It wasn't a very amicable split. Mm-hmm. So my sisters and I really leaned on each other to get through some of the tough times, and you know, played together, hung out together, and just helped each other.
How did that experience shape your leader? How did that shape you? I don't usually ask this. How did it shape your leadership style nowadays?
I think I learned very early on the importance of leaning on others be in a good place to learn from, to teach, mm-hmm. and to be part of something bigger than just yourself.
You ever play any sports in school?
Played soccer since the time I was five.
Mm-hmm. What was your role on the team?
I was always a striker from early on, started there, ended there. I think at one point my coach wanted me to play defense, and I didn't take it very well.
How long were you the head of the team?
From a very young age. I was captain growing up in my club teams and then on my high school team as
Why'd
well.
Why'd they keep you? What was it? You just yelled at everybody and told them they had to agree that you were going to be the captain? Or why'd they keep you as the captain?
I think I usually did pretty well, mm-hmm. But got along with the team members. I think leading isn't you don't need to be at the forefront. You need to be part of the team. You don't lead the team by standing out. You be part of the team, and you encourage others to do really well.
At the office, do you have a parking space that says president that nobody else can park in?
No.
You don't do that?
No.
Why not?
I think that's crazy.
Why?
You're a member of the team. I think you can't be a successful company by yourself. There's no way you can reach great levels without other people. You need to leverage other people's skills and be part of a team and encourage others and learn from each other.
So your goal is not having the fanciest and the biggest office, is it?
No.
Uh-huh. Jeffrey?
Do you think that being bonded with your sisters at a young age really got you to be kind of a team player and a captain? Were you the mm-hmm. captain of the three girls?
I would say my older sister was the captain of the three of us, but when she wasn't around, I was.
But this was really a bonding experience with your
yeah.
sisters. How did that translate into what you did next in your career?
What I did next in my career? I think I think it just showed that there are different points of time where people are leaders. Even if one person is a leader for a given period of time, at any given stage of a relationship, a problem, a situation, different people need to step up and take the lead.
Why did Will want to promote you as the president? What did he see in you that really led to that decision?
Fortunate that we have had a really wonderful working relationship, and he is, I think, a very a different type of founder and CEO of a company, where he recognizes exactly what I do, which is you have your strengths and skills, and other people are better than you in some areas, and you need to work together to have a great outcome.
Crystal, what really lights your fire when you go to and you look at this company that you're working in, Sierra Interactive? It's growing. What's the most exciting thing that you do in your daily role?
Honestly, sitting down, having coffee with team members, hearing what's good, what's going great for them in their personal lives, in their work lives, things that they have ideas and challenges with, and how I can help.
Mm-hmm. Roseanne?
Yeah. Crystal, you seem like you have a really easygoing personality. How do you handle difficult situations?
I think you always just have to have a positive outlook of things. I think you need to be forward-looking. You can't dwell in the moment or in the past. You just need to say, okay, this is in front of me. What happens next? Where do we go from here? I think it's not dwelling in one specific moment.
Mm-hmm. Roseanne, you got a follow-up to that question?
Again, you seem real easygoing. When you get tough, does that change your personality?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's a time and a place to be easygoing, but there's also being part of a leader is making those tough decisions. And I think you make... It's an inclusive way to make decisions, but you don't make decisions by consensus. So there are times where you need to step in and say, well, you guys, this is how it needs to be.
Peter, do you have a question there?
You mentioned in the green room that part of your job is to keep the trains running on time. And how much of your job is that? And what does that mean? Where does it come from?
Yeah, it's a lot of my time. You know, I work with many different disciplines within our company. So everything from HR to finance to division specific, you know, the work that our team does. So it's a lot of figuring out how do these things all work together and how do I connect all of you to work together towards kind of our greater mission.
So how do you delegate those tasks? Because when you started, you were small and you were doing it all.
Yeah.
How have you grown? How have you learned to delegate?
I struggled with delegation for a very long time, actually. It was really tough to pass things off because I wanted to do things right and I wanted to make sure they were done in a great way. But over time, I realized it's not. You can't accomplish everything that way. The way is to find people who you can instill empowerment in and trust and allow them to grow.
Mm-hmm. Philip?
Crystal, I've been looking at your website, and when you have the tab about the team, you have pictures of the team of when they were children. So whose brilliant idea was that?
I don't even know where that came from. That was there when I started. So at some point, Will must have done that. But one of our core values is it's personal. It's personal to our clients, to our team members. You need to be invested as a person, not just this is a job.
Mm-hmm. What does the name SEER mean?
Doesn't mean anything. It's not an acronym, but essentially what a SEER is, it's someone who is forward-looking, can kind of mm-hmm. have a vision and strives for something.
Ethan?
Let's see, you were captain of your soccer team. You became president of the company. How else have your experiences in life impacted others? What else do you do with that today?
Yeah, so I have been involved with mentoring for a really long time. Originally, I went to school to be a teacher. Didn't want that path for the long term, but the teaching part has stayed a really big part of my life, where I mentor people both in person and also with an online organization.
Moment.
You mentioned the word value a lot, and you keep mentioning the word team and how important that is. When you're hiring a new employee to join your team, what attributes do you look for? What qualities do you look for in them?
Yeah, that's a really good question. For us, the skills are obviously important, but we look for the soft skills that you can't teach people. So what have they done in their lives that they show work ethic and passion and dedication and drive? So we'll ask a lot of questions that don't even seem to matter when they're talking about a specific job. But for us, it's those values-based skills that we're looking for.
Back to York, Pennsylvania, mom and dad. What did you learn from your dad?
He was such a hard worker. He founded a couple businesses growing up, and I just remember some weekends, you know, going with him. He had an electrical business where I'd listen to music, jump in a car, go with him, and, you know, it'd be after his day job. It'd be in the nights and weekends. So I just learned the value of you work really, really hard on good things happen.
Did you work in his business at all?
I did not.
Okay.
How about mom? What'd you get from mom?
Yeah, my mom was a stay-at-home mom until both my parents got divorced, and then she ended up working as well. And I learned from her that there's such value in being independent and just being a really strong in the face of big challenges, to be really strong.
How about your sisters? What did they teach you that you're using nowadays?
Yeah, my older sister's really tough. She's a tough person, and she's always been a forward-thinking and really dedicated. My younger sister's a little bit more of a free bird, and I think I've learned kind of that nice combination between the two of them.
So you've learned how to deal with a wide variety of personalities because of your own family
Absolutely.
Dynamics and when it comes to business. Is it obvious to you when you're managing day in and day out that this childhood stuff helped you grow and helped you really appreciate how to manage?
Not always, but when you have certain conversations or people bring up certain things, you're like, wow, that has been in me for a really long time. It's not something, you know, that I picked this up somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey,
you've done some international travel, Crystal.
Yes.
What have you learned traveling around the world, especially in Spain, that you use in your business career?
I think the biggest thing I learned is appreciation of cultures and how people approach different situations, the way they interact with others, and the values that they have. That just appreciation for a different way of life and a different way of thinking is really key.
So you try to figure out who somebody is and then how to work with them?
Absolutely.
So you're not treating everybody the same,
no.
Huh?
Uh-huh. No.
Isn't it frustrating sometimes having to go figure all that stuff out?
No, I actually think it's the fun part of the job. It's the fun part, and it's a challenge to try to figure out, you know, how can I work with these people? Everybody has a great story. Everybody has great things going on in your life, and you have to kind of pull it out of them sometimes. And once you figure that out and you can get people all working together and seeing that in each other, you mm-hmm. can see some really great
cool.
things happen.
What's the website address for Sierra Interactive?
It is SierraInteractive.com.
We've been speaking with Crystal O'Neill, president of Sierra Interactive, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Jeff, can you please give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of hanging out with today?
It's been a great and very rich show, Herb. Thank you. We started with Jeff Morazzo, president of Spark Therapeutics. Bill Morazzo, Jeff's father, president and CEO of WHYY, where we're hosting here today. Sherry Copperthwaite, CEO of Lourdes Specialty Hospital of Southern New Jersey. Mason Reiner, CEO of Our Health. And Crystal O'Neill, president of Sear Interactive.
This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Jeff Mack, Newmark Grubnight Frank, Mr. Ethan Milrood, GoToTech, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Moment Chic, Bank of America, Phil Arregui, Sabre Systems, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.